Thank you, thank you. There was a little theme going on there. I loved it. River of God, meaning that with God's presence, we can always move and flow, right? Go with the flow. That was beautiful. Thank you so much. And I loved the band's opening song as well. I can go the distance. So thank you for the trio. I can go the distance. So, you know, that's what I keep telling myself. I can go the distance. I can move in the river of God and be made smooth by all of the rocks as the water, as I flow, right? Over all the obstacles, over all the challenges, just keep flowing, keep moving, and your life will be smoothed as you enter that process. And we can go the distance. I can go the distance. And speaking of going the distance, I want to take this time to just encourage you and to invite all of you. You may know, we talked about it last week, our peace walk. We're having a peace walk, and it is sponsored by Unity of Washington, D.C., Unity of Fairfax, and Unity of Gaithersburg. And we've been doing a lot of things together in unity, right? And this is going to be a candlelight walk, and we're going to start at the Supreme Court. Yes?
Yes.
Yes. We're going to start at the Supreme Court. And we will peaceably walk to the Union Square, which is in front of the Capitol. It's not going to be a long walk, but, you know, I was so moved, as I'm going to do a little video, but I was very moved by the monks walking for peace. And I watched the response of people. And we had decided we were going to do a peace walk together. And so it's so appropriate because, you know, we're not going to be there shouting and screaming. We will have our wonderful signs like we did for Stand Up for Humanity, you know, of love, of peace, of unity, wholeness, light, community, loving thy neighbor, being at one. So we'll do all of those things. And we'll have some candlelights that we can, we'll start at 7 in the evening on May 9th. And then we'll have a few talks by, you know, you can't have three ministers, unity ministers together without having something to say. So we'll have a little something and there'll be music. But we want to just invite all of you. If you've looked for a way to lovingly put out high vibrations, this is a good way to do it. And for us to hold that, you know, that intention that we are walking for peace, we're putting out our light, we're holding our light, we're letting our light flow. And so I just want to invite you to be May 9th. And also we need, if anyone wants to come and volunteer, Lori's going to tell you a little bit more about that. But we're looking for people who want to volunteer to help us collect the signs or help move some of the equipment in and out of the truck that we're going to have, a car that we're going to have. So anyway, it'll be a lovely, lovely event. I feel like I can announce it. But the other thing I want to tell you about is our Capon Springs retreat. Now, that's in September, and it seems like September is a long way away, but, you know, things come quickly. But I wanted to share with you, we have a very special facilitator this year. It's going to be Ricky Byers. Ricky Byers. And those of you who know Ricky Byers used to be the musical director at Agape International Church along with Reverend Michael Beckwith. And she is doing her own thing at this point in time, but brings such powerful music and a lot of her songs we used to sing. So she'll be there. And again, it's hosted by us, and also Unity of Fairfax and Unity of Gaithersburg. So the spots are going to go fast and going to go quick. So we thought it's first come, first serve. But if you want to get, you know, Ricky says she's going to have a revival. She's going to, you know, just bring us to a nice place with some music and some prayer and some meditation and just only her, as her spirit can do. So again, we have more information on our website. You can find that. But registration is open because it's the three churches and because Ricky is so powerful and well-known and positive that we thought, okay, it's first come, first serve. We have a limited number of spots, so we thought everybody, if you want to come, register so that you can be there. Because once the spots are gone, they are gone. And so, I think that's it for announcements today. The main announcement is that, you know what, we're all here. How you all doing today? Yeah. Yes. And I would ask you at home, too, how you're doing. Or as we say in New York and Brooklyn, how you doing? How you doing? And I hope you're doing well, you know, enjoying this beautiful spring weather, enjoying life as it's meant to be lived and enjoyed. So we thank you for tuning in. We know you could tune in, you could be doing something else, but we acknowledge you, we're grateful for you as well. And for all of you that are here, you know I love to have your face in the place. It gives me energy, it feeds my spirit. I like to feel it, you know, back, although there's energy coming from those who are with us at home, but I also like to be able to look out and see your wonderful faces and get the feedback and just have a wonderful exchange. So I thank all of you for being here this morning as well. You know, I'm always intrigued about what message Spirit is going to bring on Sunday morning. And I have to have my talk title and things prepared so that they can put it up on the screen. And they like to have it like by Friday, but Spirit has been given it by, you know, Thursday night, you know. And but I'm always saying, what's the message, Lord? What should I bring? And so my mind is always searching to grab, is it something in the news today? Is it something that I heard in a commercial? What is it that the message should be about? And as you know, I'm a lover of words. I love words. You know, I think there's something very powerful in a word because it's a thought. And a word, you know, it's a spoken thought. But it carries energy and vibration and meaning. And so I've always been intrigued by it. And I came across a new word that I had heard a couple of times that I found really intriguing. And so it's the latest word that I think that's been bandied about. And it's called metacognition. Metacognition. Now, you know the word meta grabbed my attention, right? Because it's very similar to metaphysics or metaphysical. Meta meaning beyond. Beyond, we are metaphysicians. We move beyond just the mere appearance of something. We go deep, we go underneath, we search out, right? And so I'm thinking, wow, metacognition. I was trying to figure out, well, what could this be? Because meta means beyond, and the physical beyond the physical. And so I'm thinking, wow, well, metacognition. That must be something around beyond consciousness, beyond cognition, beyond thought, beyond knowing. You know, I'm thinking it's going to be something deep and spiritual and meaningful. And it is, to some degree. But I had it all out there like, yes, it's going to be esoteric. Yeah, I got to look into metacognition, you know. And then when I began to research it, well, metacognition in its simplest form and term means being aware of one's own thinking. Metacognition is it's thinking about your thinking. Thinking about thinking. And somewhere where I read it said, it's like the bridge between being a passive observer of your mind and being the active director of your mind. Now that intrigued me even more, right? Being a passive observer of your mind, which is what mindfulness is, sitting and being mindful of the thoughts that are passing what? Through your mind. Or being an active director of your mind. Now, both of those activities involve being aware and being consciously involved. Involved in a process, in the process of thinking. And I thought, oh, yeah, this is really good. But have you ever noticed how, for the most part, we aren't really aware consciously of our thinking? We're not really aware of the thoughts, not unless we are actually consciously sitting down and practicing mindfulness where our attention is upon, well, let me see what thought, oh, that's a thought. But most of the time, we're not sitting in meditation. And we're not necessarily consciously aware of the thoughts that we're even thinking. Right? They just happen. And we just kind of engage the process. They kind of, what I say, it come. We have the experience of unbidden thoughts that just pop into your mind. And we just engage them and go along with them or whatever. Sometimes we struggle with them, fight with them, but we're not really conscious of them. And before you know it, you're down sort of a rabbit hole. You're just thinking. What we used to call, right, the stinking thinking. Because it's not thinking with a purpose. It's not thinking with conscious awareness, right? That is either directing, you're not even directing your thoughts or you're observing your thoughts. You're just thinking the thoughts, just randomly. And don't forget when you get triggered by something, well, then the thoughts just come and they're all over the place. You ever been triggered and the thoughts pop in and there? And another thing, blah, blah, blah. At least this is what I do. My mind is powerful and active. And if I'm off on the wrong track, right, and I'm triggered, then all of a sudden I'm thinking here and I'm thinking that and another thing, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm not necessarily even conscious. I'm spewing thoughts or anything that's coming into my mind. But metacognition implies something different. Because it implies conscious awareness, either by consciously observing or watching your thoughts, which is the mindfulness practice. Consciously observing or watching your thoughts, that's an activity, or by consciously and actively directing your thoughts. That's different than just letting a whole bunch of thoughts come in and you have no, you're just thinking. You're just letting it come in. And I would really love to be able to do both of those things or either of them at any given point in time. I would love to be able to be more conscious, to be more mindful, to be able to practice, to sit. And when I studied mindfulness meditation, they call it the practice, to practice sitting. You should practice sitting for as long, many minutes as you can, or hours or whatever, but your practice is actually watching your thoughts. Not thinking your thoughts, it's what? Watching them. Not engaging them, because what happens is the moment we start to engage, we're not watching, we're now acting and reacting, as opposed to just sitting and watching and letting. That because things come and things go. Thoughts will what? Thoughts will come and thoughts will go. And so when we get into this practice of just watching them, there's a whole nother dynamic that happens in your own being and in your mind and your heart, right? And so I'd like to be able to do either of them than rather having this unconscious rambling, this unbidden thoughts, this spewing, this coming up. The Bible says that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Set you free. So the operative word, what do you think the operative word here is? No, no, no. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, even with that, it's not just knowing the truth, because a lot of people know about the truth, but they don't really know the truth. They know about it, right? So there's something to this. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It's not just knowing the truth that's going to be the trick to setting you free. There's another layer to it. It is knowing by consciously applying the truth. See, there's another action, if I might add on to Jesus' teaching. I might have the mitigated gall to add on to his teaching. But I will. Because it's not, we get stuck in saying, well, I know the truth, I know, but, and how many of you feel you know the truth, but you're still having certain experiences, or you're still stuck in a condition? We all know the truth, but it's not enough. Bruce Lee said it best. He said, knowing is not enough, right? And he said, willing, he said, you must apply. Knowing is not enough, we must apply. And then he said, willing is not enough, we must do. Because I'm willing to do a lot of things, but do I do it? No. I know a lot of stuff, but do I apply it? No. So this whole concept of how do we really move ourselves into a state of freedom or a place of freedom so that we could be set free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And who doesn't want to have freedom, internal freedom, within your own heart and mind and soul and your experiences? Everybody wants a little taste of freedom, right? Internal freedom we're talking about here. And so when we want to gain this freedom, you gain it when you can consciously direct your thoughts, or when you can consciously observe without what? Engaging. But observe the thoughts and let them come, because thoughts are going to come. But you let them come and you let them do what? Go. We let them come and we're, oh, I don't like that though. Wait a minute. Whoop, 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 whoop. And now we're engaging in the thought and we're struggling and fighting against that. No, let it come and let it go. Let it come and let it go. Or actively, consciously direct your thoughts. See, there's power in that. When you can do either of those things, you're at a different level. You're operating on a different level completely, right? And it's beyond this metacognition, beyond this unconscious reacting to conscious directing. Different thing, different thing. And so when I know the truth by directing it, by applying it to my mind, then my actions are going to have a different quality about them. When I'm knowing the truth and I'm applying it now, not just being aware of it, but aware and application, applying it to a situation, then my actions are going to lead me to a certain level of freedom. Freedom where I'm moving beyond the error thoughts or the compulsive thoughts or the limited thoughts or the negative thoughts. When I can know the truth and I can direct my mind to a different level, right? Then all of a sudden, I can gain more freedom in my life because I'm moving beyond the limitation of unconscious thoughts, unbidden thoughts, triggered thoughts, right? Unconscious thoughts. And we're all about we're all about waking up, are we not? Yeah, that should be our goal. And even if it's not our goal, life is, everything that's happening to you is, so life is trying to wake you up. And sometimes it's slapping you upside your head to jolt you up, right? A situation, a circumstance will come. And it's not necessarily a bad thing, but it may be to move you. My situation came so that I could wake up and say, wait a minute, life, life, life. Let me be conscious about living my life. Ooh, let me wake up. Let me be conscious about my health and my diet and all of those things, right? Wake me up so I can be present to my life. So knowing the truth and applying the truth is really a good thing. It's a positive thing. But knowing the truth, while that's good, it's even greater if we can maintain the truth. See, I've had good moments of where I applied it for that moment. I was, ooh, 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 let me catch this. And now let me apply it. And that was really good. And I was conscious, right? And then the next thing you know, I'm unconscious again. So it's not a one-time deal. We're talking consciously working on yourself to see if you are awake or you are asleep. Because, you know, you never know when. Does anybody know the exact moment you fall asleep when you get ready to go to bed at night? Do you know the exact moment? No, you're just what? You're just asleep. Next thing you know, it's the morning. Or maybe it's 2 or 3 in the morning and, you know, you got to get up and do what you got to do in the middle of the night. But you're not aware of when that happens. You're just there. And so this practice of trying to be aware of your inner state is a really good one. And when we can maintain it for longer periods of time is when we know we are growing and we're progressing and we're doing well. So knowing the truth is great and applying the truth is great. But now can we take it a step deeper? Can we maintain this truth? Because unfortunately, sometimes our thoughts get hijacked. You know, you're thinking a good thought, but it gets hijacked. And what do you think your thoughts get hijacked by? Let me see if I have any metaphysicians. So there are two basic things that we have, two kinds of emotions. We have thoughts and what? Come on, don't be afraid. Yes, feelings. We have feelings, emotions, thoughts and feelings. And sometimes our thoughts get hijacked by our feelings. So I've had a great revelation, and then all of a sudden, there's some feeling that's hijacked that thought and moved me down another road, another place, especially when those feelings are contrary to what I am thinking or what I say I want to be about and thinking. So I might have my thinking, but then there might be a feeling that's contrary to what I am thinking. I say I want peace, but then I have this feeling that's contrary to the peace. It could be anger, it could be upset, it could be whatever. But it's not in alignment with the thought that I'm having. So now I'm out of sorts because I'm thinking I want this, but yet I'm feeling this. Which happens to, it's part of humanity, it's what we do. But the key is to be aware that we're doing it. Be aware that we're having that. And so it's like, if I'm not aware that the feeling is contrary to the thought, then I'm not going to have the ability. I will be misdirecting my thoughts. Because remember, I'm trying to consciously direct my thoughts. But if my thoughts have been hijacked by my feelings, then I'm not able to really direct the thought because now feelings in play. And so this is really, again, conscious awareness is the key, because if you can notice when and if your thoughts and your feelings are not in agreement, then you got something to work with. But you have to be aware that they're not what? In agreement. And a lot of times we're not aware and we just have commotion. We have things happening in our mind and in our heart, and we're conflicted, and you know, there's no internal peace, and meaning there's also no direction, there's no manifestation, because you can't manifest when you're thinking one thing and feeling another. You're pulling at the inward of your own creation, right? And so when you notice that your thoughts and your feelings are not in alignment, then you can work on that. Now here's a hint. When you see that they are out of alignment, your thoughts and feelings are out of alignment, work on your feelings first. Because your feelings never lie. You can tell yourself a lot of things, but your feelings are going to tell you the truth about what's happening. Right? You can say, I'm a peaceful soul, I'm a peaceful soul, I'm a peaceful soul. And it's churning and your stomach's going, yeah. Right? Feelings never lie. Now, here's the thing. Your feelings never lie. Now, the truth about why you feel something may not be true. But your feeling of it is true, because you're feeling. When you're having the feeling. So the feeling is there. And so when you're trying to think and yet you've got this feeling, don't say, you know, it's not cold, it's not cold, it's not cold. It's cold. Your body is, you have a feeling. So you want to go to the feeling first. Because that's what's hijacking your thought. The order of cognition, the order of awareness, the order of consciousness should be intuition is first. On the ladder, because that's what? That's direct knowing. That's not about thinking. That's direct knowing. Revelation. Impartation. Download. Intuition. And then that influences your thinking. The next level is your thinking. And your thinking should influence your feeling. And your feeling influences your expression. But what happens is when things are hijacked and reversed, we have the outer expression trying to influence our feeling nature. And then our feeling nature is trying to influence the thought, and the thought is cut off from intuition, because you can't think yourself into intuition. That's a whole nother happening. But because, you know, we may not be operating on the intuitive level all the time, the next level, we need to make sure that our thoughts are clear, and then make sure that our feelings are also clear and in alignment, so that our expression is what? Clear. Our action, our output. And there's a reason why, you know, I'm sharing all of this, because I think, you know, we're living in such a hard and harsh time right now. We have to be able to figure out what's happening. Am I maintaining my peace? There's so much stuff going on that is disruptive to our own internal world and peace. And we need to have some tools in a way that we can work with things. So once you realize that your feelings are doing the talking, because sometimes your feelings do the talking, right? Then you can sort of sort them out with conscious thoughts. When you recognize your feelings are doing the talking for you, you can sort it out through what? Conscious thought. And it feels very what? Circular. Right? I'm telling you to heal your feelings by doing conscious thinking, your conscious thoughts. And it feels like it's kind of circular. But if you can honestly work with the why and the where of your feelings, then you can heal them, right? You can transform them. You can then direct them with your conscious thoughts, but you got to be in tune with them. Now, I'm bringing all this because I want us to have the skills necessary as metaphysicians and now as metacognitions. I don't know if that's a word, but I'm making it up. We want to be able to figure out how do we keep a measure of peace. I talked about peace. We're doing a peace walk, but how do we keep peace? How do we keep ourselves so that we can direct our thoughts and manifest what we need to and have our sense of peace within our hearts and minds and what's going on? And we need to be able to do that as a skill and as an approach, right? So that we can manage our internal world. There are a lot of people that are falling apart right now. It's intense. And even if you are not consciously keeping up with the activities of what's happening, because some people say, I'm just not looking at the news. I don't look at the news either, but I keep up with what's going on. But even if you don't look at the news, even if you don't think you're keeping up, the energy that is on the planet is affecting you whether you know it or not. And you don't want to walk around being affected unconsciously by all this madness. You need to be aware of what's happening within your own being so that you can what? Be a conscious director of your life or an observer of what is happening. Not a willy-nilly, you know, puppet running around just being at the, oh my God, oh, this is what's happened today. And that's what, I mean, I had to stop getting into all the little details because it was driving me crazy. Because every day there's something horrendous happening, right? Every day. And that's the point. Keep it up so that people get so numbed out that they just stop doing anything. Well, I don't want to be numbed out. I want to move away from that, but I still want to be active and consciously engaged in my life and my own internal feelings so that I'm not going to go cuckoo and cray-cray because there's so much stuff out here. We need tools. We need to be able to practice. We need to be able to notice what is going on in our lives. I'll give you an example because the rate and things are happening, but I have a great many emotions that are going on right about now in my life and feelings that are running around in my heart and my mind about a lot of things. But an example was I posted it, but on Monday, I got to ring the bell, right? It was my last. Right. Thank you, thank you. So it was, thank you, thank you. But it was my last treatment, right? And I had said, I had thought, you know, according to what they were saying and whatever, oh, I'm never going to be able to ring the bell. And I had made peace with that, right? And so I said, okay, that's fine. But anyway, so you all know about my last scan. And so I had my last treatment on Monday. And as I was there, I had said to Raquel a couple of days, I said, you know what? It's my last treatment. I'm going to ask to ring the bell. And you could come and take a picture. And she said, okay, I'll do that. And then on Sunday night, she called. I said, you know what? That's not necessary. I'm not going to have you come all the way out. All the way out to Gaithersburg just to do that. I said, it's all right. We don't need to do that. She said, you sure? I said, yeah, I'm good. You know, it's all right. So I go, and I'm having my treatment. And all of a sudden, I hear maybe two or three stalls down from me, because we're all in this big room. Everybody's hooked up to something. And I hear a bell ringing. So I said to my nurse, is somebody ringing the bell? And she said, yes. And I said, wow, this is my last treatment. And I got my clean slate. I want to ring the bell. She said, you want to ring the bell? I said, yes. So I got to ring the bell. But the thing is, I have been going there for 2 years. Every 3 weeks, I had to get an infusion of medicine, right? Every 3 weeks, I have never in the 2 years ever heard anybody ring the bell. And this is how spirit works. It was like, oh, you want to ring the bell, daughter? You said no to that, but I'm going to have somebody ring the bell so that it just comes to your awareness. And I said, is somebody ringing the bell? And I got to ring the bell. And it was a wonderful experience. But let me show you how life works, because it was very joyful, right, for me to be able to do that. But at the same time, I kind of also noticed, not in that particular moment, but I noticed that since the time I had gotten my clean scan and ringing the bell, that I noticed that some thoughts popped in my head. Like, when and if these C cells, they are inactive now, but I wonder when and if they're going to do what? Come back. And if they... So then I was thinking about the joy. I couldn't even have the joy for a long enough period before here comes this opposite thought, contrary to the experience that I wanted to have and I was having, the joy. Here comes these other thoughts. When will it come back, and how will it come back, and where will it come back, and if, and blah, 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 blah. And this is what happens. I have the experience of joy that now, and the thought and the feeling of joy that's now hijacked by a negative thought and a negative fear. So now I had to work. I had to work with the fear so that I could enjoy the joy. Right? Because otherwise, why have the joy? And I was like, dang, going on. I couldn't even have joy for 2 minutes before here come these fear thoughts. But I'm in a place where I'm trying to watch everything. And I'm trying to handle it much differently. So I worked with those thoughts so that I could enjoy the time that I have. I had to practice metacognition, being aware of what is taking place within my own thinking and my own feeling, right? I had to bring my awareness to my feelings and my thinking and putting things in alignment. I don't know when stuff will happen, but right now, let me know that I'm enjoying my peace. I'm enjoying the freedom. I'm enjoying all of this, right? So that I can at least have that. That's metacognition, being aware of that and working with that. And friends, there are going to be things in life that's triggering to us, you know, that will overwhelm us, that will frighten us, that will anger us, whatever. And at the very same time, there's also going to be things that excite us and that bring us joy and that bring us hope. And it'll all be at the same time. That's the key. It's all happening at the same time. I'm sad about leaving this great ministry. When I think about it, sometimes I'm brought to tears when I think about what my last Sunday might feel like. And so I'm sad sometimes. I'm brought to tears sometimes about it. But at the very same time, I'm also looking forward to, ooh, I won't have to write a talk on a Saturday. You know, Lord, I don't know what's on TV on Saturday, but I'm going to look at it. At the same time, I'm happy. I'm excited about the adventure of what's to come. And I hold those two and I let them flow. Sometimes I'm excited about what's to come and the peace of, woo, I can just let go of the energy of holding a whole church in my heart and mind and shoulders, of letting it go and releasing the joy that is. And at the same time, oh my God, this is where I've been for half my adult life and blah, 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 blah. And I have to go from here to here. But if you know what is happening at any given moment within you, which is metacognition, being aware of what is taking place, you can handle whichever one is. When I have the joy, I have the joy. When I have the sadness, I have the sadness. I just don't let it take me down, either one of them, into a rabbit hole or into a place where I can't flow. I can't go with the flow. I got to be in the river of God. I got to move with all of that and practice. And so I know that this is happening, and I want to practice this truth that I know, apply this truth that I know, so that I can have peace and I can flow with it, so that I can be the metaphysician, the metacognition, whatever it is, that I can actually do it so that my life is blessed and benefited, right? This is not just a thing. So I'm recognizing, oh, I'm off balance here. My emotions are strong. I'm here. Where am I in the process of my thinking? Where am I in the process of my feeling? Oh, my feeling, I need to heal this. I need to, you know, address this. I need to learn. I need to be conscious of it. I need to be awakened to it, because when you're unconscious, you can't heal it. It runs you. I want to just be present to whatever it is. So, you know, what thoughts are you thinking and having that are leading the way to healthy feelings? Are your thoughts leading you to healthy feelings, healing feelings? Or are your thoughts leading you to fearful feelings, limited feelings? Know the process. Practice where you are, right? And notice what you are thinking and think about your thinking. Notice what you're thinking and think about your thinking. Either you want to observe it through mindfulness, or you want to what? Direct it. Either way is good. Observing it as a practice or directing it as a practice. But letting them run rampant without your awareness is not a good thing. Be mindful. Be mindful means be full of awareness and not full of your mind. When you're full of your mind, you might be full of some other stuff. The ego, right? So you want to be mindful, but full of awareness, right? You want to be an active director of your thoughts and not an unconscious automaton. And if you don't know what an unconscious automaton is, look it up. It's a word. We don't want to be that. And so I want to leave you with the quote from the Apostle Paul. And he said this: be ye transformed by what? By the renewal of your mind. I want to be transformed at every given moment, which means I have to renew my mind, renew my heart, renew my soul, renew my consciousness at every given moment in time. So the question for you is that as you renew your self from time to time, just check out what you're thinking and think about it. Check out what you're feeling and think if it's healing you or something that needs to be healed, or is it traumatizing you? Whatever it is, be about it. Be in the flow. You want to enjoy the joy and heal the trauma. That's the essence of life itself. Enjoy the joy and heal whatever trauma, because life's going to bring you a little trauma here, a little trauma there, a little drama here, a little drama there. But be aware of it. So you are not just metaphysicians, you are now what? Metacognitions. You shall know the truth and apply it, and the truth shall set you free. Blessings. Oh, blessings. Blessings. Blessings, blessings, blessings.